We're in Galatians chapter 5. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you now for the opportunity that we have to look into your word. Please open our hearts, open our minds. Lord, if there's something that's distracting us or something that's keeping us from wanting to hear, Lord, just take that away and help us to hear your voice. We ask in your name. Amen. What does it mean when we say something like, they're a good person? They're a good person. As a culture, and I'm talking about culture, not necessarily church or God's word, but as a culture, being a good person has come to mean certain kinds of things. And many of those things are very good things, okay? I'm not putting them down, but this is some of the things that our culture would say make someone a good person. Good people tolerate everybody, the live and let live. That's something the culture would say. A good person will not judge others, unless, of course, it's a mass murderer or somebody like that. Then, yeah, you have every right to judge them. A good person recycles, rescues stray kittens and puppies, does volunteer work. Again, there's nothing wrong with those things. Culturally, and I could go on and on and on. A good person in the culture is many of those kinds of things. A genuinely good person is honest and hardworking, sincere, those kinds of things. I just want to, as we look at the goodness of the fruit of the Spirit, it is possible for someone who doesn't have any kind of relationship with Jesus Christ to do good things. That's what I'm, you know, that's very, very possible. There are good people out there. And someone who is, I use the term kind of loosely, but someone who's a total pagan, doesn't believe in God, they're an agnostic or whatever, can do good things. Sure, absolutely. And why is that? Well, I believe it's because we are made in the image of God. And God is a good God. And even someone who doesn't believe in God, if they're starting out and they're doing things, even that image of God comes through sometimes in the good things that they do. But when we talk about the goodness of the fruit of the Spirit, that's a whole separate thing. That is goodness that is formed in us by the Holy Spirit, and it cannot happen apart from the work of God in our lives. It is impossible. The fruit of the Spirit is something that God brings and God does. And that's the thing that we need to kind of always keep in mind. And so to be really, truly good in that sense, there has to be a flow out of our relationship with God. So we have that relationship with God because we have peace with God. And then we have the peace of God, which allows us to act in the ways that come from Him. And so we cannot have an ongoing relationship with God and not have those things begin to impact our hearts and impact our lives. What is it that makes us good? Or what's the forgiveness that we've received at the foot of the cross? That's what makes us good. I mean, I may do good things, but what makes me good is I'm forgiven. That's what makes me good. That's what makes me good. It's Jesus that makes me good. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So when we believed in Jesus Christ and we're saved, we're new, brand new creation. And our hearts are changed and the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of us. And that's where the fruit of the Spirit comes from. Because the Holy Spirit is resident in us and He begins to change us. And the more I yield my life to Him and my rights to Him and say, I don't have rights, it's you that has them, the more the fruit of the Spirit becomes apparent. He begins to work those things more and more in my life. And so His goodness will not come out of my self-effort. His goodness is not going to come out because I work harder at it. His goodness will come out as I yield my life and surrender more and more to Him, and He brings His goodness through me. That's what we're talking about when we talk about the goodness that comes through the fruit of the Spirit. So let's read these verses together. And we'll jump right in and look at what the goodness of the fruit of the Spirit is all about. Let's read together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit, again, is something the Spirit does. It's something the Spirit causes to grow in us as we surrender to Him. And we already talked about love, how it's a self-sacrificing kind of love, which only God gives us the ability to do for others. Talk about the joy, which is, it's God-empowered joy, which even in the deepest, darkest circumstances, we can still have that joy which He has given us. And we talk about peace, and that's that inner peace that we have of God, no matter what the circumstances are, because we have peace. peace with God because of our relationship with Him. And then we talk about patience, the whole idea of being slow to anger and never seeking revenge when wrong. That can only happen if God's Spirit is causing that in us. It doesn't happen any other way. And then last week we talked about kindness, and that's that Spirit-empowered concern, God growing my concern for others, and so that I do things for others based upon the fact that God is wanting me, causing me to want to be that way towards them. So now goodness, and goodness is one of those words that, try defining it without saying good. It's not easy to do, okay? So we're going to spend some time looking at it and see what goodness is all about. But goodness is really an uprightness of the heart, uprightness of life. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's virtue and holiness in action. It's decency. It's integrity. It's honesty. It's kindness. It's all of those things. And many of your definitions will say kind in them, or will say being good. That's the goodness. And so goodness is something that, like I said, hard to define, but it's what the Holy Spirit grows in us. Now, there is a moral component. There's a sense of rightness and justice and purity that comes out of a pure heart, a heart that's been changed by God. Goodness is self-sacrificing love. It's kindness. Now, there's three definitions that I found helpful. I'm just going to share them with you because I think they help us to get a little bit fuller picture of what the goodness of God is and what the goodness God, who God is, wants to have come out in us. So let's take a look at those. Goodness. It's a moral and spiritual excellence seen in a sweet spirit and act of kindness. That's one definition of it. So it's the whole idea of morality and the sense of right that you're involved in. A second definition, goodness is an uprightness of soul and the action of reaching out to others to do good, even when they don't deserve it. See, the goodness of the Holy Spirit working in me means I'm not just looking for people who are good already or who have been good to me to be good to. I will be good to those that don't deserve it. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And then the last one, goodness must spring from a good heart. I can't make my heart good. God can. When I receive Him as Savior, He changes my heart. He makes it good. He purifies my heart. So goodness must spring from a good heart, a heart that's purified by the Spirit of God. My paraphrase of a verse that you know is this: out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks and actions flow. You want to talk about goodness, it should flow out of the fullness of our heart. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about the goodness of God. So we're going to take a look at examples of the goodness of God. Now, why in the world do we look at God's attributes in order to understand the fruit of the Spirit? All right, really good question. Here's one of the answers. This quote, I think, is helpful in understanding why we do that. God is good. And through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, God reproduces His goodness in our hearts. This is practical daily goodness. Empowers us to live lives characterized by the desire to act righteously for the benefit of others. Again, not just to the people who are easy to love or the people who are easy to do good things to, because maybe they do good things back, but this is to do good even to those who don't deserve it. And that's what the goodness of God is all about. So this isn't in your notes, but the fruit of the Spirit is God producing His character in us. That's the fruit of the Spirit. God producing His character, because all the things that are part of the fruit of the Spirit are part of His character. And so He wants to make us more like Him, more like Jesus. And that's why we stay connected to Jesus. That's why we talked about John 15, the branch being attached to the vine is absolutely necessary if we want to be like Christ, to be attached, to be pursuing Him. So some of the examples of God's goodness, we're going to look at three of those this morning. And just to kind of whet your appetite, take a look through your Bible and read about the goodness of God and realize that whatever characteristics you see of God there, He wants to develop in you as well. So let's just take a look at three. Psalm 25, 8 and 9. The Lord is good and upright, or the Lord is good and just. Therefore, He shows sinners the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. So just very, very briefly, we won't spend a ton of time here, but because God is good, because that is His nature, because that is, if you want to put it this way, I know God doesn't have DNA, but it would be part of His DNA if He had it, because it's just part of Him. And so part of what God is, is good. And because he is good, because he is right, because he is just, he shows sinners the way. He doesn't just say, I'm good, I'm just, and they deserve hell. That's it. That's over with. No, he says, here is the way. And the way is through Jesus Christ. The way is through the cross. And that is the way that you can come to me. And so he looks for the humble and he teaches them his way. Why? Because God is good. God is good, and part of his character, part of his essence is, I want to have relationship with those, and so here's the way that can happen. That happens through Jesus Christ. And so the first thing we see, one of the characteristics of God, is because he's good, he makes it possible for us to come to him. Because we couldn't in our own ability or strength in any way. The second thing we see in Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, verse 67 and 68. And the interesting thing is, as I was studying this week, I realized I look at 67 a lot. And I've read this verse, and you'll recognize it right away. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, and now I obey the word of God. Okay, so before I was afflicted, I was wandering all over. But God afflicted me, and now I obey his word. We understand that. We've read it. We forget the next verse. The next verse flows right out of that one. And please understand what he's saying here is, God brought some suffering or some hardship into this psalmist's life because he was being disobedient, because he was wandering from the word of God. And so God brought something hard, some affliction. And he says, because you afflicted me, now I obey. You disciplined me, you brought me back to your word, and now I am obedient to your word. And the very next words out of his mouth are, you are good. You are good, and you do, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. I want to know more. Isn't that an interesting flow? You caused me to suffer because I was disobedient. That discipline that you brought, that hardship that you brought into my life, made me turn back, and I'm glad I did. Now I'm following you. I'm listening to your word. I'm obeying your word. Lord God, you are awesome. You are good that you did this to me. That's what he's saying. And he comes all the way back and says, keep teaching me your word. I just want to know more. That's his response to God's goodness. You see, sometimes our lives are all messed up and everything's going wrong. And I think sometimes that's because we've wandered. We've wandered away from the truth of God's word, and we've wandered away from obedience to him. And when we wander from obedience and we wander from God's word, things aren't going to go well. For the Christian, God wants us to be in that close, intimate walk with him, and that can't happen apart from obedience to the word of God. So Psalm 119 is just one of those wonderful, wonderful verses there. And then Romans 8:28, verses that we quote all the time, and we love this verse. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so as we're thinking through what that means, we're saying, okay, so God brings things into our lives. God permits things coming into our lives, however you want to put it. But things come into our lives that come first through God's will. And they come into our lives for a purpose. And what is that purpose? That purpose is for our good. And many times, I have to be honest with you, the hard things have come, the struggles have come, and I know the verse, I just didn't believe it personally. I struggled with it. I thought, God, if this is good, I'm not all that excited about it. And the cool thing is that God didn't just say, okay, I'm through with you. He kept being patient with me, and eventually I got through this. I'd say, oh, yeah, I really do see the good in what you just did, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Interesting thing is in verse 29, Paul goes on to say that one of the purposes of these things that God brings into our lives is so that he can conform us and shape us and make us like Jesus. And then in verse 30, he talks about the fact that God calls us, justifies us, and glorifies us. And all of those things, God is working together for good. That's what he's doing. And he's doing it through those things. What do we say in response to that kind of goodness of God, the way he's done that? The fact that God causes all things to work out for our good. And Paul answers that in verse 31. What then shall we say? What then shall we say to this? How do we respond to a God that causes all things to work together for good? To God that calls us and justifies us and glorifies. How do we respond to that? And he goes on to say, if God is for us, who can be against us? Do I believe God's for me? Well, that's what it says. If God is for us, who can be against us? And then you want an example of how that works? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? He gave me Jesus. He gave me salvation by faith in him. He will give me all that I need to honor and glorify him in my life. And so we can trust God in those hard times. I'm going to read from a blog that someone posted this week. If you're interested, you can find it on my page on Facebook or Mundane Faithfulness if you type in a search. The woman's name is Kara Tibberts, and she's posted this just in the last couple of days. For 2 years now, she's been struggling with a fight with cancer, and really serious cancer. And this is what she wrote, and it just struck me this week, based on what we're talking about, the goodness of God, that this was appropriate to share. She said this: "Today I swallowed the endless pills. I give thanks for these 2 years. I pray for more. More time. But I embrace today as the answer of many prayers that are prayed for me. Today is an answer to those prayers. Jesus has been good to us. So good. This is not the life I expected, but that doesn't mean it's not a beautiful life. No, my story has been made beautiful by another author. The author that knows what true beauty is." Isn't that cool? "I am humbled to be given this story to walk in faithfully." Think about what she's saying. "I fail, but my present grace given, but the present grace given to take each step is always generously given. And when I blow it with my grumpy attitude, well, I am met with grace to repent and receive endless forgiveness found in Jesus. It's enough. It's generous. My life may not be written as I had dreamed, but that doesn't mean that it is not good. Hard is not the absence of God's goodness." You hear that? Hard things, struggles, don't mean that God's not good. "And those who would tell you that it is haven't looked deeply upon Jesus. They know little of abiding in his grace and simply think health and wealth are the only things that show the faithfulness of Jesus. That's a weak God and simply not the truth of the gospel. Look closely how Jesus redeemed you. It isn't pretty, but it's good. So good." That's someone who understands Romans 8:28. God brings things into our lives. God permits things to come into our lives. Things that come into our lives come first through his will and are there for our good. And if we respond the way he wants us, can bring him honor and glory. That's one of the purposes. And that's where we see God's goodness, even in the hard things. So how do we respond to God's goodness? And again, you can find many, many more examples, but just three quick examples of how do we respond. Psalm 34:7-8. "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." And then this verse is the verse I want to focus on. "Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Now, this isn't a statement of try Jesus, you'll like him. That's not what it is. It's not give it a try. You might really like this. It's more a statement of taste and see and believe because he is good. He is good. You'll see it if you taste who he is and what he's all about. Taste and see means take refuge in. Taste and see means I believe truly that God is good. And so my response to God's goodness should be, I'm going to taste and see. I'm going to trust. I'm going to believe. I'm going to take refuge. Why? Because he's good. He's a good God. And so I want to taste and see that goodness. A second verse comes in Micah 6:8. "He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God." So because God is good, he has showed us what he wants from us. He wants us to be involved in doing good things. His goodness says, I'm going to show you what I long for in you. Okay? And so that's a great thing for us to see in response. Micah's answering the question, how do we know what God wants? Well, the answer is, he's shown you. He's showing you what is good. Out of his goodness, he's showing you what is good. And what is good is this, to act justly. That means to be honest and be a person of integrity, to be a person who's fair. That means to love mercy, to love God's mercy and God's goodness and his kindness. And in loving his mercy, to show his mercy. Be merciful. It means to walk humbly with God. He's God. I am not. And I come before him in humility. No pride should come out of the fact that God is good and lavishes his goodness upon us. Thankfulness should flow out of that. But certainly not pride or arrogance. So our response to God's goodness should be to seek to live out the truths that God requires. Walk humbly. Love mercy. Walk justly before him. Why? Well, because God is good. And that's what he longs to see in us. Then in Psalm 27, one of those verses that I really enjoy. There's an honesty here that's just powerful. I would have despaired. I would have despaired. I would have given up. I would have quit. It would have been all over if I had not believed I would see the goodness of God. If I didn't believe God was good, if I didn't believe I would see God's goodness, I would have quit totally. I'd have been all over with. I would have been in total despair. So then he goes on to say, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And so really, I think the key here in this whole couple of verses is, I would have despaired unless I had believed. I believe God is good. Because I believe that God is good, I can wait and trust and be patient and expect God to come through in the situation that I'm in. Because I believe that God is good, I can be strong and hang on even when I feel like quitting. I say, no, I will not quit. I will hang on because God is good. And I will let my heart take courage, even if it means to say 100 times, take courage, my heart, because I don't have it. But God is good, and I'll take courage in that. And so when we're facing those hard, difficult times, when it looks like there's no sunrise and only darkness, or to quote C.S. Lewis, when it's always winter and never Christmas, how awful would that be? But that's how it feels sometimes. And this psalmist says, I would have despaired except I believed God is good. So I can wait. I can be patient. I can be strong in God's strength, and I can wait for God because he is good. Now, when we talk about the goodness of God, sometimes there's a struggle for us personally in that. And the struggle might go something like this for you. If God is good, then why am I hurting and struggling so much? How come? I believe God's good. I mean, it says it. I believe it. But I'm not experiencing it. Yeah, he saved me. Yeah, and I've got heaven. I get that, and I'm thankful for that. But now, what about now? When we're going through deep, dark times, it's easy to see the problem instead of God. And I understand that. I've been there. I've lived through those deep, deep, dark times. And so when we're hurting and struggling physically or emotionally or spiritually, financially, it's easy to slip into thinking that God is, he's just not all that good. And it has to come back to trusting and believing what God says. And Karen and I went to Emmaus Bible College together, and a number of years ago there was two couples, good friends, who graduated. One couple went to Africa to serve in the African continent, and the other couple went into business and were active in their church and supported many ministries. And time went by. The couple in Africa went through a whole lot of really hard and difficult things and eventually lost a child as part of the, you know, just part of what happened in their life there in Africa. There came a time when there was a reunion and they got back together as friends, and there they were meeting and talking, and the couple from Africa was sharing their story, and they were talking about the difficulties that they'd seen and how their son died, and the other couple just got really, really quiet. And then they said, wow, God has really been good to us. And in their mind, they were saying, we haven't had to struggle like this. We haven't lost any of our kids. God's been good. And the missionary couple said, wait, time out. Don't think we shared that with you to say anything other than the fact that God has been good to us. God has been good to us. They had a much better grasp of the goodness of God. God is good all of the time. There's an answer there. Let's do that. God is good all the time. Now we say that. Do we mean it? If we really believe the goodness of God, then like the couple that came home from Africa after struggling deeply and having a child die, they could say God is good all the time because they believed it. God is good even in these hard, dark, and difficult times. And so I just want to say that if that's what you're experiencing right now, the answer to that is still God is good and believing and going back to what he says in his word. Some of the implications for us then of the goodness of God. If the Holy Spirit is producing his goodness in us, well, what would that look like in our lives? So let's kind of look at Luke. The first one that we've got here under the implications is the goodness should be seen in how we treat those who mistreat us. Okay, we'll just start there. Every one of us has somebody who's against us. Well, there are a few people that don't, but most of us have somebody that doesn't like us. You know, I've unfortunately had more than my share, it feels like. And you could probably say the same thing. Man, it feels like I've had more than my share. Look at what Luke says. And this is Jesus. I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. And the minute you read it, you go, oh man, really? Is that what you want me to do, Jesus? I mean, really, come on. When we're wronged, we're supposed to do good. When someone hurts us, we're not supposed to seek revenge or lash out at them. We're supposed to do good. That's what we're called to do. You take a cup of water and you fill it up with water, fill it up all the way, and you're walking along and someone bangs into you, water spills out. As a Christian, we're walking along and someone, through their unkindness or their words or whatever, bangs into us. What spills out? Is it the goodness of God? It should. Because if God is at work and doing stuff in our lives, we're supposed to do good to those that hate us. We're supposed to pray for those who mistreat us. And if that's our attitude and that's our heart, and we really are because God is good and he's filling our hearts with goodness, and we get banged, goodness should flow out. Not bitterness, not anger, not unkindness, not whatever else could be. So goodness should be seen in how we treat those who mistreat us. Second thing, goodness can overcome evil. And let me just change that to say goodness empowered by the Holy Spirit in our lives can overcome evil. Okay? My being good, just because I'm good, will not overpower evil. But look at what Romans 12 says. Again, strong words. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. So the Lord understands that in us, every now and then, something happens and we just want to say, oh God, get him, get even, do something, because, you know, we've been wronged. And we cry out for justice, and God understands that. And he says, don't you do it. That's not your job. That's the first part of the verse. On the contrary, he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And then I love this next phrase. Do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. If you want one phrase to take away from the whole day, take that one, if that's all you're going to take. Hopefully you'll take a few more, but that's a good one to take. And as a believer, we all face those hard times. We face those times when someone says harsh things or does harsh things, treats us unkindly, treats us in a way that isn't right. And it has happened to every one of you. It's happened to me. And in a deep part of my heart that nobody sees, okay, and nobody hears, I'm saying, zap them, God! Now would be a good time. Now, God, do something. Show them who's God. And I mean, it's you. Show them, you know. And I'm thinking this, and I'm realizing, wait a minute here. That's not overcoming evil with good. That's my anger crying out to God to do what I want him to do. And God doesn't listen to that kind of stuff. He doesn't need to. He's got his plan. And his plan, he will deal with every one of us, me and the person who just harmed me, in his time. We are supposed to overcome evil with good. I can't do that in my own strength, and neither can you. You can be really nice, you can be really good, but to overcome the hard, really difficult things, the way that somebody treats us, that's got to be coming from God. And so we say, oh God, I surrender my rights to get even. I surrender the desire I have to see this person hurt. I leave that with you. You do whatever you want. Help me to be good to these people. Only in God doing that can that happen. It doesn't happen any other way. Third thing, the goodness empowered by God can bring honor to Christ. Let me, if you're going to go look at one verse when you go back, take this one and just chew on it for a while. We keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all of the good things your faith prompts you to do. And then the name of the Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live. So Paul says, I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying that God will give you the life that's worthy, that he'll give you the ability to live a life worthy of your calling, in a sense that he's saying. And what, remember, as we've gone through Galatians, Paul was saying, you cannot be saved by anything you do. It's God's grace that saves you, period. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. You turn to him, and by his grace, he saves you. Also in Galatians, he says, now you can't walk the way you're supposed to without God's grace either. God saves you by his grace, and you can only walk a Christian life and honor God the way you're supposed to, trusting in God's daily grace. Both of those things have to be a work. And I think that's what he's saying here. I'm asking God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. I'm asking God to give you the ability to live in daily grace, living out the truth that he wants to see happen in your life. And I'm asking him to give you power to accomplish all of the good things your faith prompts you to do. Now remember, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 say we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And we're saved for a purpose, verse 10, to do the good things which he's laid out there for us to do. I think that's what he's saying right here too. May he give you power to accomplish all the good things. What good things? The good things he's laid out there for you to do. All the good things that your faith prompts you to do. And if you do those things in that way, what will happen is that Jesus Christ will be honored in the way that you live. So that's a third way that we can honor God in our lives. But what do we take away from this? Our goodness is totally worthless if it's not empowered by God. If I go out the door and I'm nice to people and I'm really good in lots of ways, but it's just me doing it, there's not a whole lot of value in that. But if God himself is working through me and helping me to look and see what's going on with this person and how can I encourage them? How can I challenge them? How can I help this family, this person, this individual? How can I be an encouragement to them? Then God's goodness can be at work as I'm trusting. There are times I'm talking with someone or I get a phone call or someone's in the office. And I have to be really honest. I'm sitting there, and in my mind, I'm saying, God, if you don't do something, this is lost because I've got nothing here. I don't have wisdom for this. I don't have skill for this. I don't have anything to offer, but you do. Would you do that through me? Show your goodness to them through me. Remember, all our righteousness, all our good things that we want to do in our own strength, is not much more than just filthy rags. It's just not. But Psalm 23, the very last verse, jumped out this week. And David has gone through, he's talked about, you know, the good shepherd and all that wonderful stuff. And he gets to the end and he says, surely your goodness and faithfulness will pursue me all my days, and I will live in the Lord's house for the rest of my life. Now, interesting thing here is that word pursue. That word in the Greek is a verb that is used to describe the enemy actions as they chase down an enemy to kill him. Pursue, that's the word. And David uses it here. He says, surely God's goodness and his faithfulness pursue me. Chase me down. Let that kind of roll around in your head a little bit. What would you rather have chase you down than God's goodness and his faithfulness? How awesome is that? God is chasing me down. And David said, it's not just he's going to chase me down and then move on. He's going to chase me down all the days of my life. So his goodness will be there. His faithfulness will be there because he's pursuing me with his goodness and his faithfulness. So because God's goodness and because God is pursuing me with his goodness, because I can be confident that that goodness that he's pursuing me with will never end, then I know that the Holy Spirit can be working in me, developing his fruit in me, including the goodness of the Spirit of God. I can show goodness, real, genuine goodness, even to those who don't deserve it. I can, and so can you, because God is the one doing the work. I can't do that in my own strength, and neither can you, but by the Spirit of God, even if someone has harmed us, we can show goodness to them. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So because God is good, because he's good to me, because he's good to you, we can trust God's goodness to flow through us so that when we're at work and we got that real jerk that we work with, we can still speak respectfully towards them, and we can treat them with kindness. We don't have to treat them like we'd like to because God is working through us and we can show God's goodness to them. Because God is good, I can speak carefully and truthfully with my spouse or my kids when there's a lot of struggle going on. And God's goodness can come through in the way that I speak. And the thing has to be handled and the issues need to be faced. But how it's done with God's goodness makes a difference. Because God is good to me and he's working that goodness in my heart, I can stand up for that person who's being mistreated or being spoken harshly to. And I can say, wait a minute here. Please don't do that. It's time to let that go. Time to stop. And I can step in. Even if it scares me to death, I can do it because God's goodness is at work. Because God is good, because he's good to me, I can challenge my kids or my grandkids or my brother or my sister to follow the Lord even when they don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. And so I can continue to gently show God's goodness and continue to gently point them to Christ. I've shared that story before. My dad, we came back from Bolivia. I was so angry at God. I just didn't want to have anything to do with him. Carol was sick and I was working in a job I didn't like. And I just basically just said, that's it, I'm done. And I got angry and I started challenging everything my dad said. And my dad would just smile and he'd just point me back to Jesus every time. He didn't argue with me. He knew it wasn't worth arguing. I was saying really dumb stuff. And eventually the goodness of God and the goodness of the people who kept pointing me back to Christ just showed me God's real and he's good. That's because of the goodness of God working in me. I can show that kind of goodness to others. And that's just one of the fruit of the Spirit. They're all growing and going in us. And if we're connected to the Lord Jesus Christ like the branch to the vine, it happens. It happens. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your incredible goodness to us. Thank you for the fact that you are at work in us. Lord, I pray that we would yield more and more to you so that you can do more and more in us and through us. And Lord, may that fruit just be so obvious to others that they want to know, What is it that you've got? So, Lord, we ask that you would work in us your fruit. We ask in your name.